Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/auctionpodcast for your free audiobook download.
Hi, everyone. This is Martin Willis.
And Phyllis Gall.
With the Antique Auction Podcast. And we're on the phone today with Sally Schwartz in Chicago.
Yes, the founder of the Randolph Street Market.
How are you doing, Sally?
I am doing great. It's a beautiful day here in Chicago.
Oh.
All right. That's
good
nice
for you
to hear.
Guys. It's pretty good here, too.
Well, we've been having a weird spring.
Yeah,
this
a little schizo.
It's like almost snowing out here in California. It's really, really strange.
Anyway, well, you know, so Chicago, it can do that at any given moment.
That's right. Except for July 4th, somewhere around there. It's winter's coming, winter's going, and winter there, right?
And then there's the mosquito season, which seems to be just about ready to.
All right.
Oh, is that like its own season?
Everyone's wearing hairnets and stuff.
All right.
So, Sally, you founded the Randolph Street Market. Let's talk about that.
I did.
Yeah, how long has that been going?
Well, it started as, actually it was called when it started, the Chicago Antique Market. Mm-hmm. And that was Memorial Day weekend 2004. Mm-hmm. And it started just as antiques. It was on the street in downtown Chicago. Everybody said no one's ever going to be able to do this because people in Chicago will not come to this event. And it was just a very big hit right out of the starting gate.
Excellent.
We changed the name to the Randolph Street Market because everybody would always call it, that, you know, that market on Randolph Street? And furthermore, young people just didn't respond to the word antique, which is sort of symptomatic of our industry.
An excellent topic to talk about.
Yeah.
So the name was changed to the Randolph Street Market in 2007, and we say the Randolph Street Market Festival featuring the Chicago Antique Market.
So it's kind of all-encompassing.
Yeah.
Now, what time of year is that? Is it the same date every year, or how's that go?
Yeah, we always open Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's every year we have a garden party opener, which we're doing right now, and it's just fantastic. Everybody's ready to get out. It's very social. People are just highly energetic and excited about being out on the street with everybody and all their friends, and it's just beautiful.
How many blocks are closed on the street?
Well, we basically take over one entire city block, and we use a giant parking lot and a building that was that's owned by the Plumbers Union, which is a beautiful Beaux-Arts building.
Ooh.
And it's just a great area. It's the neighborhood of the Market District where the Teamsters were actually born. It was the original fruit and vegetable market. It's where the Haymarket riots were. It's very historic.
Yeah.
And so
is it anywhere
back?
Is it anywhere near where the cow knocked over the oil lantern, as they say?
Oh, you really know your Chicago, don't
you? Yeah, a little bit.
Ring a little bell here for you, Martin. I suppose it's not too far from there.
Uh-huh.
That is, it's all sort of right in the downtown area. It's just a little bit west of Millennium Park.
Mm-hmm.
In a very, very trendy area with lots of art galleries and really neat little boutiques and that sort of thing.
Oh, it sounds perfect. I want to go.
Yeah.
Well, you need to get on a plane right now.
Yeah,
we should do a live show there.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to do a couple of, we can't do it live because we're recording, but we're going to do a couple of on-location things coming up pretty soon. That'll be pretty exciting. So tell us the involvement of antiques in this fair.
Well, the involvement is that we have about 185 to 200 antique dealers. They come in from all over the country.
Oh.
And they bring with them, it's a very select group. It's not stuffy, but everybody brings really nice diversity. We don't want any one type of thing. It's not stuffy. It's really well selected, the merchandise. And we have an area called the Do-It-Yourself Estate Sale, where we let people who have inherited things come and bring their things.
Wow.
And sell them, and the dealers love that as well.
Oh, I bet they do.
Oh, yeah.
it works out really well. And we get a lot of inquiries from people who ended up with this piece or that piece. They don't know what to do with it. We say, you know what, just bring it down.
Now, is this the show that the antique dealers are doing, is that inside or is that under tents?
That is both. The more high-end dealers are inside the building, so we always say it's really more like an antique show. And they like to be inside, you know, with the air conditioning and the nice plumbing and the whole thing. And then the ones that want to be outside are tend to be the ones that really don't have a problem with the elements, or they have their own tents, and they have things that they can wear more in the weather. But anybody with really, really fragile paper or glass or, you know, the really high-end vintage clothing, that's inside.
So right now you're saying you're setting up the big opening party. You must be pretty busy. You must be
very busy. And very busy. And it really is a huge social event in Chicago
and
over this weekend.
That brings me to I read a little bit about your history, and you used to be solely an event planner. Is that right?
Yes, I started as a party planner, actually.
You must be. So you were a pro, literally.
Yeah, I was in an ad agency, and I had to plan an event for a client. I always wanted to just write copy and write TV commercials, and I had to plan a party for a big client, and I just loved it so much, and then started my own party planning company. And I used to travel to all the local area antique markets to buy props. I was buying 50s stuff. I was buying, you know, 80s. Whatever the theme was, that's what I was buying.
I see. So that's...
And then it was not convenient to always have to get in the car and drive way out of the city to buy the things that should have been available inside the city. So that is really the basis for why I started this market, that and that I'm a collector myself.
You know, my cousin used to live in Chicago, and he used to be a picker, and he used to tell me that there was some really nice treasures that people actually put out on the curb. He used to drive around.
Oh, it's amazing. People don't know what they have, and that is definitely there is so much you can find just on the curb or in the alleys in Chicago.
Jeez,
that's right.
But people also in Chicago, what's nice, I think, for anybody who wants to buy antiques or even anybody who's coming in. The prices, I don't think, have been popped out of whack, like maybe on the East or the West Coast. I don't think the items have been bought and sold as many times. By the time, and there's a lot of people that live in the same house that they've always lived in. There's a ton of preservation. So I think that there's merchandise that comes onto the market in Chicago that's just not ever seen anywhere else.
All right, so you're putting this show together right now. You're on location, just getting things ready. Is that right?
Correct.
And how's all that going?
Oh, that is always it comes together slowly, and then it's a frantic tear because it's like a giant jigsaw puzzle. You have trucks coming from. We have two different entrances onto the site. Trying to weave everybody in with their trucks, with their ramps. Some people want to take every square inch of their space and they want to put merchandise in it, and they don't want to have their vehicle with them. So then they're trying to finagle their vehicles out of the premises, and it gets really messy. And that's the fun that we're looking forward to. And then all of a sudden, boom, the gates open, and then we're in the actual event mode, whereas now we're in the setup mode. And the event mode is the really fun part, obviously, and that's when you have to watch, I should say the Duchess of the market. I walk around and make sure everyone's having fun and nobody's doing anything that would, you know, be obnoxious or harmful to anybody else.
Now, do you expect a good turnout this year?
Yes, we expect a great turnout. I think a lot of what makes our event so much fun is that we have so many young people to come. This is really their big thing. And those people tell everybody to come. And it is, it's, you know, between all the colleges that are in downtown Chicago and all the young working people, its vintage is just huge.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, it's great.
They live for it. And we're doing something else this weekend where there's a huge event called Bike the Drive. It's where they shut down Lakeshore Drive just for bicycles.
Oh, wow.
And we have a partnership with Bike the Drive, so we're expecting lots and lots of bike riders to come over on Sunday after they're done riding. And we even have at the market, we have vintage twin bicycles.
Oh, perfect. Oh,
yeah,
that's fun.
And then we have delivery service, so anybody can buy anything and
That's smart. It's really smart.
I have a question for you. How does one start a fair like this? I mean, that must be very, very difficult to get one rolling.
It is. I mean, I can't even believe it that you know, it's off the ground. It just blows me away. I think that because I was a collector and I was in the business, I already knew dealers. Mm-hmm. It really takes selling, because I had to sell the city on it.
Yeah, that must be hard.
Down the street and use the city's resources, which involved no parking signs, streets and sanitation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole big deal in downtown Chicago to be able to shut down the street and have the blessing of the mayor. And so that you have to have a lot of tentacles out there that can allow you to maneuver. And the hardest thing, though, was convincing the antique dealers why they should come into downtown Chicago to do something that they hadn't done before.
Uh-huh. I bet.
And that was just a question of me just, having to go to every show in the area and talk to every single vendor that I liked.
Jeez.
And just be really excited about it and, project. And I think the fact that I was a professional event producer
mm-hmm.
took some of the uncertainty out of it for people. Mm-hmm. They knew that at least it was going to be, a classy, up-and-up event.
Mm-hmm.
Whether anybody was going to come and shop was, the issue. But when you have a perfect marriage where it all comes together, that just sort of it happens that way right from day one.
Mm-hmm.
How do the dealers do there? Do they sell pretty well?
The dealers sell really well, and they tell their friends, and then their friends start coming. It's like they have their own little piece of real estate in downtown Chicago. It's their
uh-huh.
own little storefront, and they like how creative the audience is in Chicago, how creative and nice. We have really nice shoppers and really fun people that are doing the shopping. So it's great when you are hauling your stuff around, when you can come and be with a wonderfully energetic group of other dealers, because we're really picky about who gets to come. You got to have great display.
Nice.
You have to have a really great reputation as a business person, someone who's a good dealer who people like doing business with. And then you have to sort of be fun, because it's like a big party. That's how I sort of build this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dealers are the show. That is the entertainment. And they have to be educational. They have to be fun. They have to be dependable. And they have to be honest. And so I think that in this day and age, when you walk into a store and maybe nobody even pays any attention to you because there's not enough manpower,
mm-hmm.
or the people that work in a particular store don't even know enough about the product they're selling,
mm-hmm.
or they're selling you stuff that's been, sprayed with fire retardant or whatever
right.
things that are coming in on containers, I just think it's a whole different awareness of a way of living with beautiful things.
That's
sort of bypass the traditional retail system.
Right, yeah, it's beautiful. Do you have a small army of people helping you?
I do. I have a wonderful group of people. My top people happen to be all women.
Aha. Uh-huh.
We're all moms,
uh-huh.
and we're
mm-hmm.
all really efficient at getting this sort of stuff done. And when we're on site, that's when we bring in all of our muscle, our security.
Yeah, that's all we're good for.
We like our men
yeah.
when we get on site.
Makes sense.
But it can be a little sorority-like, but we have a lot of fun.
I got a question.
We do a lot of traveling. I've just got the greatest right-hand people. One of my right-hand people is Melissa Sands, who was is an antique dealer, out of Detroit, and she was so in love with the show that she asked if I needed any help.
Oh, nice.
And my right-hand person, she's 10 years younger than me, and we have our birthday on the same day.
Oh.
Which is really cute.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's cute?
That is cute, yeah.
I won't tell you how old I am or how old she is, but I'll just say that we have a 10-year age gap. And then I have Sarah Watson, who is, she's like the nanny. She's our British logistics. She's in charge of running the whole event on site. She is just brilliant, and to use a great British word. And she is calm and collected, and she's just phenomenal.
Wow.
And then I have a host of other people that are just fantastic, too. And then I've got this great relationship with the Plumbers Union in Chicago. So we have all the union folks that love us, and it's sort of a very cozy group group of people.
I want to say something. I was in Chicago visiting my cousin, and I was very impressed with how it had like a village atmosphere. Everyone, as we were walking down the street, everyone knew each other in this little burg area, wherever it was he was in. And they're like social and friendly. It was, I was really shocked.
That is interesting. I mean, I think of San Francisco like that too, in the neighborhoods that I've been in, but maybe you don't see it as much, but or maybe it's because you relate to San Francisco.
We're just north of San Francisco in Marin County.
And what I love so much. Of course, that's like, you know, any, you know, really affluent suburban area that people can be behind their doors and you never see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that's exactly right. Yeah.
Right, it's exactly like that, but it's gorgeous. Downtown Chicago, I think people live in the city because they like to be around other people. They can handle it. I don't like the noise, but I do love, people. And I think you get a lot of people in downtown Chicago that maybe came from various small towns throughout the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And this is their big city, is Chicago. And they have that you help your neighbor mentality. You are from, maybe you grew up on a farm or and also the weather. I think the weather neutralizes. And I think it weaves out a lot of the people that we don't want here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've been there in the winter, too. Yeah.
The wind, you know?
Now, the Windy City was from, it was a politics, it had to do with the phrase from a politician.
Long-winded politicians.
Right?
Yeah.
But it is windy there.
I'm glad you guys know that. Yeah, it is windy. Did you ever see the movie Victor Victoria?
Yes.
One of the best movies of all time.
Julia,
Leslie Ann Warren does that dance to Windy City and her dress blows up and just like lifts off and she starts like tap dancing and, you know, a leotard. It's windy and wind can be a big factor when you're trying to do an outdoor event, so knock on wood.
Well, I was in the Sears Tower and that baby was moving back and forth pretty good in the wind.
It definitely sways. The wind is serious. I guess it must be from Lake Michigan. I'm not totally sure why.
Yeah. But, you get all that lake effect snow out there, too.
Yes. Gosh, you really do have the vernacular. You you might need to just move here.
I watch the Weather Channel.
There's some. This is definitely one of the more interesting places to be a weatherman. Our weatherman is a guy named Tom Skilling, who's on WGN, and people just love to listen to him because there's just always bizarre stuff happening. There was a friend of mine who was born in Whittier, California, and lived half her life in Honolulu, was amazed when she came to Chicago for the first time because we had a thunder snowstorm. It was thundering and lightning.
Did you get a snowbow?
Yeah, whatever you call it. There's always something new.
That was pretty bad.
Definitely.
I want to talk, can we talk now about We have a good friend of the show, Eric Bradley, the editor of the Antiques Trader magazine.
We love him.
We love him,
who
too.
He's
really
him?
Promoted us a lot. And
he's so fun and cute, isn't he?
I have never met him, but talking to him on the phone, he seems like a real gentleman, very, very astute.
You hit it on the head. He's a total gentleman. He is so optimistic and fun and just spreads really good energy. He's super smart. He's an award-winning journalist. I mean, he was a serious investigative journalist.
Mm. Huh. Now let's talk about the new event you're having this year with the Antique Trader.
Yes, the appraisal fair.
Oh.
Okay.
It's all the rage because everybody knows about the Antiques Roadshow, but the Antiques Roadshow doesn't come here, or if it comes here, it's too exclusive and it's not happening where anybody can really see it, and then they got to tune in. But we are hosting an appraisal fair live from the market, and Eric Bradley is bringing specialists that have written books for F&W Publications, which are all those price guides, and they're coming, and our audience is really excited about this because they all have stuff. They want to know what it's worth. We get so many questions every day that are just emailed to us. Do you know anything about this potbelly stove? Do you know anything about this, you know, plague? Everybody's got something, and they start looking around, and so we're going to have this live on-site appraisal fair.
Are you going to film anything?
I am going to bring something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to find something.
That's too bad we're not there.
Yeah.
It's really a great opportunity for people. And what's fun is that people can bring things, and then they can also talk to dealers who may want to buy whatever it is. Because as we know, the dealers, it's not just about them selling merchandise. They have to find merchandise to buy, too. That's how they sometimes judge a show, is just by what they find to buy.
Now, do you have to work year-round on planning this event, or is it something just start a few months ahead of time?
Oh, no, we're planning all year round because people want to lock in their spaces, and we have to promote it so that there's certain long lead publications. Like, for instance, we are in the May Hemisphere magazine, which is United. They list us as something to do. And so all that promotional work and also visiting other shows, because we're always looking for new and exciting vendors to bring to Chicago.
Now,
that happens year round.
Sorry. Now, do you have a website that you can throw out the address of right now?
I sure do. RandolphStreetMarket.com. And Randolph is spelled R-A-N-D-O-L-P-H, not with an F.
And your contact information is on there?
My contact information is on there.
All right. And are you involved in any other situations, shows or anything like that, or is this your baby and this is it?
Well, the Randolph Street Market is May through September, and then we're just starting the Highwood Street Market Festival. And Highwood is a beautiful little town on the north shore of Chicago, which is where Lake Forest is and Winnetka and Glencoe. So we're taking our act on the road, and we have many, many people that live in the suburbs that either don't want to come downtown, or they love our events so much that they would come every weekend if we had it.
No, we just need to back up one second.
Let's back up a
little. Randolph Street Market is from May through September?
Yes.
I was thinking it was Memorial Day week or something.
But here's what happens.
Okay.
It's once a month.
One weekend a month.
Yeah.
So let's back up, like she just said, and tell us what weekend every month it's on. I mean, is it the first weekend? Is it the last?
It used to be the last. It started as just a one day event. It started just on the last Sunday of the month, and then we moved it to Saturdays and Sundays. But it wasn't the last because we like opening on Memorial Day weekend, and occasionally Memorial Day weekend is not the last weekend. So we are always Memorial Day weekend, and then we are usually the last weekend of the month, but in the month of June, we are not the last weekend of the month. So you got to pick a day.
I'm confused a little bit, but let's just say to our audience to check out the website for when you go into Chicago and plan to go to the Randolph Street Market.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, if you're going to Chicago.
Yes. We have two other high-end fashion and jewelry events that we do in April and in October.
Phyllis just lit up on that.
Oh, these are beautiful shows. The Modern Vintage Chicago Fall Fashion and Jewelry Explosion, we call it.
Jeez, Manise.
Wow.
And we have had two shows so far. We had a fall show and we had our spring show. And the people that are coming to buy and the people that are selling are already saying it's maybe the top three of all vintage clothing and jewelry events that they've been to anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wow.
So we're really excited. One of a journalist who came said it's the Barney's of vintage.
Wow, that's a pretty big compliment.
Pretty big compliment. We love Barney.
Yeah.
So that was a real thrill because that is exactly what I'm going for with it. It's not just more of the same picked over merchandise, but really the most select and most unusual and most exciting merchandise.
And where do those pieces come from?
They come from the buyers and the dealers that we have are so superb at locking in customers that are selling to them. I mean, we have one of our vendors is Lori Davis, who has a store called Lulu's at the Belle Kay. Mm-hmm. She has every socialite. She flies down to Palm Beach all the time. We're talking about merchandise that somebody who's maybe, you know, 85 is unloading and things that they wore 30, 40, 50 years ago that they may have only worn once.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right, the best. You know, wow, what a find.
Beautiful Chanel, beautiful, beautiful, you know, even like Lilly Pulitzer, Pucci.
Wow.
Everything designer, couture, it's just, it all stems from the dealers that are coming and selling.
Jeez. And when does this happen?
This happens in, our next one is going to be October 23rd and 24th.
Okay.
I mean, for instance, the people that come and sell at this event, mm-hmm. they're the ones that supply the stylists that sell to Nicole Kidman, Madonna, Julia Roberts. These are the ones who provide those people
never heard
for their stylists.
Yeah,
never heard of them. So, I mean, this is the whole thing about these kinds of events is you go to the source. So
nice.
People are buying directly from the person who bought it from the person who owned it.
Right, right.
So
you know,
it hasn't been like sold and sold and sold and resold a million times.
That's amazing.
It's still in nice condition.
We just interviewed Abigail Rutherford, who's the head of the couture department at Leslie Hindman Auctioneers.
Right.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, yeah, she knows her stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, we said Leslie Hindman a few times, but it's Leslie Hindman.
Right, and everybody says Leslie Hindman, but it's okay because.
At least they're saying the name.
But when you're typing it in onto a website, you're going to type it in right. And
that's true.
So much of their business is international and online.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's true. Yeah,
okay,
that's
I'm sure Leslie doesn't care at all how anybody pronounces her name as long as they're clicking and getting her to her website.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, do you go to auctions in Chicago?
Yeah, I like to go to auctions. I think it's really fun and it's exciting.
Yes, we think so too.
I go to auctions in Chicago, and I also go to auctions in other places. There's a wonderful vintage clothing textile auction in Sturbridge, Massachusetts. During the week of Brimfield.
Oh, wow.
And it's amazing. Like, they have these boxes where you don't really you see a couple things that are in the box,
mm-hmm.
and you may end up with 20 beautiful Victorian beaded bags for $100. That's the mysteries of these auctions are that they're just, they got to get rid of stuff.
Mm.
And, I mean, you can get amazing buys.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You need to travel.
Yeah.
I'm going to interview you two when we're done.
That sounds good. Now, do you go to Brimfield a lot?
I like to go.
Yeah.
I think it's a wonderful place to get ideas and to see people. It's sort of just one of those places where anybody you really want to see is going
to
be there.
That's for sure. It's amazing to try to cover the whole show.
I don't have the energy for that
anymore. You better have some good hiking shoes on and a lot of stamina.
So
yeah, a lot of stamina. I think it's just so invigorating, though, the whole thing, because you're looking at such fun merchandise, and it's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my brain gets kind of fried after the first 3 hours trying to process everything I see there. It's amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
It definitely is. Well, I'll tell you what we have at our event now is we've got cabanas and casitas. That's our new thing. We have private little luxury cabanas where our high-end clientele that want to rent these by the day can hang out and get play a hand of poker and drink a bottle of tequila and
this
you know,
sounding better
that's
and
pretty
better
loose. Yeah, do you have table service too?
Chair.
Cocktails?
Yeah, with a little refrigerator. Yeah. Because it's all about we don't want people to leave. You know, when you go to those events, if you get really exhausted, you just can't do business. So you really need to refresh.
Wow. This is really an impressive gig you've got.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, hedonism, really, when it gets right down to it.
So, Sally, you used to collect, I know, things for home furnishings and decor and designer things, but now you collect more art, is that right? Fine art?
I love art. I've always loved art.
Mm-hmm.
And art is the one thing that you can just throw it on your wall and you don't have to step over it. Like the other knickknackies and merchandise.
Yeah, easier to dust.
But I have a big collection of cigarette lighters. That's sort of my thing. Really great
wait a minute.
Lighters.
How does someone start collecting cigarette lighters? Is it a smoking habit or what?
It is. It's all comes from the party planning thing. My my grandmother was threw lots of parties and had lots of. You'd always have people's parties. They'd always have their cigarettes out, and then they'd have cigarette lighters, and everything was decorative, and everything was about smoking, drinking, and playing cards.
What else is there?
Which is what I also say that I collect advice because I love drink sets and card sets and cigarette lighters.
Right.
Now, give us an example of what a really collectible lighter is.
I actually have a cigarette lighter that I got in London at Portobello Road that is from the 1800s. I can't describe it terribly well. It's just really heavy, and it opens, and there's this flint that just goes spark. But it's an old, it's really carved and really ornate elephant. And that's the most expensive lighter I have, and I think I paid $600 for it.
Wow.
Other lighters you can get for under $100. There is one lighter that I have that I've never thought much of, and somebody saw it, and they said, oh, do you know that was on the coffee table in I Love Lucy?
Oh.
It's a lamp that you pull the lamp, and it lights.
No way.
And I thought, okay, you know what? I have it. It's not doesn't really thrill me that much.
Mm-hmm.
I have lighters. I have cameras that like you take the picture and it lights. I have a beautiful.
Novelty.
My friends bring me gifts. I have a friend that brought me an enamel, beautiful red telephone from Paris. And when you pick up the phone, it plays "I Love Paris in the Springtime."
Oh my gosh!
And it's a cigarette lighter.
Wow. Do you?
So there's a lot of novelties. I've got like a lot of cigarette lighters were made as promotional items. Like, I have a Jim Beam lighter that has a chain on it so that they would chain it to the bar.
Oh.
Just shove it, you know, throw it down to the end of the bar to one guy. And
yeah. Do you have that lighter that was in A Roman Holiday where you can, like, take a picture secretly?
I have a little camera lighter, but it doesn't really function as anything but a lighter.
It was, like, on Get Smart or something. Do you have any... Do you collect ones like Dunhill, you know, the gold ones, or do you just do
you
more
know what?
Novelty?
That's so interesting. I don't collect those. However, a funny story, when I was 16, I had a boyfriend, and he was a smoker when it was cool, smoked cigarettes. And for his graduation, I gave him a gold Dunhill lighter, and I engraved it with the date of the graduation.
Oh, nice.
It had my name on it.
Oh.
Many, many years later, I fixed him up with his wife.
Wow.
Huh.
And at
that
their wedding,
works.
He gave me the lighter back for my collection. I had completely forgotten I'd even given it to him.
Wow.
That
came
is nice.
Back to you. How about
yeah.
that?
But
so.
Then he ended up screwing around in the first year of his marriage, and the marriage broke up. He wasn't a good bet, and I was glad I didn't marry him.
Yeah, well, you know, it's time to give the lighter back to him then.
Yeah. I was glad to have it back.
Yeah.
Where it belongs.
Oh, that's always an interesting
that's
topic.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
Too much information, right?
Yeah. I don't think I'll edit that out. I kind of like
but
it.
But I did add that back into my collection. And I have some really cute little teeny... I've got really little lighters, and I've got really big lighters. I've got the Space Needle, the Seattle Space Needle. I have a giant Zippo lighter that is, I don't know, probably, you know, a foot high.
Oh, wow. That's
now I remember they had those little like keychain lighters.
Yeah.
The little tiny, tiny ones.
Yeah. I have a little teeny tiny champagne bottle that the top comes off and it's a lighter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always like the gun like in Get Smart where they or some TV show and they point the gun and they're ready to shoot and then it lights. That's
right.
Yeah.
And then he starts eating it like it's chocolate or something. That was from some movie. I don't know what. Or a little fizzle of something comes out.
So we know that you have a real busy schedule and because of what's going on today, and we really do appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thank you so much for spending the time to talk to us.
Oh, well, I love that you want to talk about this market. It's very close to my heart, obviously, and I love traveling, and I love going to markets wherever I am, so hopefully your listeners will be able to make it to Chicago and come and visit us.
I'm definitely tempted to go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, come on down.
Next time I'm there, I'm definitely going to plan it to be there at that time. Now, do the same dealers tend to show up over and over again?
There is a core group that have not missed a single market
nice.
The day I started.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's more and more that are coming in, but it definitely changes. What's nice about Chicago is it's right in the middle of the country. You've got dealers that are crisscrossing. These people are all gypsies. They just go from show to show to show.
Yep.
So you've got people crisscrossing, you know, from New York, they're going to Texas, they're coming from L.A., they're mm-hmm. coming to Florida. So yep. it's a perfect stopping
new
point.
People doing that.
So we always have new and fresh vendors at all times.
Well, good luck with your new appraisal event this year. Make sure you tell Eric Bradley a nice hi from both Phyllis and I.
Yes. I sure will. We'll mention you guys.
Thanks.
All right. Hey, we like that.
We'll work the podcast in. Somehow.
Nice. Thanks.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much. This is Sally Schwartz with the Randolph Street Market in Chicago. And this is Martin Willis.
And Phyllis Gao.
Signing
off.
Today's show was brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/auctionpodcast for your free audiobook download. There are over 75,000 titles to choose from. We thank you for listening today, and we hope you enjoyed the show.